welcome, welcome, welcome to Yell Radio Cast, Yell Entertainment, YellRadioCast.com. And we are here, finally.
Finally.
Finally. I got my guy in here. This is Dialing Yell. I'm not going to take up too much of your time because I want to give credit to the man of the moment. Shout out to my brother, Sean Shan, my pastor. My pastor.
Y'all heard that.
My pastor. I don't give everybody that credit, brother. Sean Shan. They be sure.
Man, such an honor. Such an honor.
So brother, when you going to come to Walker? No. Y'all be asking too much on the tithes. Y'all be asking way too much for the time. Yeah, yeah. Y'all be asking to bring the plate around four times.
Hey, man, he coming around, though, y'all. He coming around. He coming around.
So I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to my brother, Pastor Sean Shan, Hill and Haven. This is the first episode, the introduction of the Keep Your Chin Up podcast. How you doing, my guy?
Good, good, good. Excellent, awesome, empowered, inspired, a whole lot of.
A lot of what?
A whole lot of,
because you just had a whole lot to say before we went live. Hey, so this was going on, right? He said, "So we actually going to go live?" Yeah, I'm throwing you in the deep end. They did that. They did that to me when I was 6 years old, and this is my trauma bonding. They threw me into the pool. I had to learn how to swim. I'm gonna go ahead and throw you into the pool, man.
Trauma bonding. We don't do no trauma bonding around.
And that's what's wrong. They say black men can't trauma bond. Yes, brother. Introduce yourself.
You do the introduction.
Okay, so, Mr. Sean Shan.
So, look, while this is my podcast, you're doing the intro today.
Yes. So, Sean Shan of Hill and Haven ATL, Hill and Haven of Atlanta, hillandhavenatl.org, a mentor, a pastor, a man of the community, a brother, a black man of significance, a husband, a father.
There we go.
And I know the tagline is, we are better together. I know what's going on. My God.
Y'all see he plugged in. Y'all see he really plugged in. So, yes. Yeah.
So this is the first episode, first edition of Keep Your Chin Up podcast with Sean Shan. You've tied your name into it. I love how you did that, you know, because Yell Entertainment, right? Yell Radio Cast. Yell happens to be my middle name. And for years, I wondered why my aunt gave me that middle name. She ain't never explained it. It didn't make sense. I knew I wasn't going to go to Yale, okay?
Now you're making money with it.
But I turned it into something of significance for me that ties into my personal goals that hopefully it sticks when it's heard. Mm-hmm. So keep your chin up.
Mm-hmm. Legacy. I want my work to speak for me. I remember I was in a space where I was kind of down and out. Man, I had just came off of doing something terrible. You know, I had just came off. I know we going to get into that later. Y'all should have seen how his ears just perked up and all that other stuff. But it was a long bus ride back to college. When I did this terrible thing, I wound up, I'll go ahead and put it out there. So I wound up stealing the car and then letting my boys in college drive the car, and they wound up getting caught in the car with a broken steering column and all of this other stuff, man. Right. Just a big mess. But I remember that when I got out of jail, man, I was in jail for 2 weeks and I wound up getting out on my own recognizance. Mm-hmm. Right. My grandmother had sent me $250 because that's what the original bail was. But I had no priors or anything like that.
Right.
And, you know, I was in another state. But I remember going to Denny's. And when I walked in Denny's, now, mind you, it's cold. It's
right.
Super cold. And I remember, you know, walking in Denny's and the waitress says to me, as I was looking down, I was walking in because I was just distraught. I was just, you know, emotionally spent a whole lot of things because I at this point didn't know how I was going to piece my life back together.
Correct.
You know, after something like this had happened. And I was looking down. She said, "Hey, black man, ain't nothing down there. Keep your chin up."
Oh.
Right?
Right.
When she said that, it didn't stick. Until later on, it didn't stick until later on, you know, when I was ready to receive it. You understand? So so while it's a play on the last name, that's where it had originally, where it originated from, was a place of despair for me. And then when I think of our men today, most of the time, again, we're walking around, our heads are down, we're looking distraught, we're going through something. Everybody is going through something, but ain't nothing down there. What are we walking around looking down for? So, you know, shoulders back, head up, chin up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It gives you an opportunity to reestablish your position of power and authority. And that's something nobody can take away from you. So you walking around like this is one thing, but you walking around with your head up, shoulders back, you can be going through anything.
Right.
But it puts you in a place again of empowerment for yourself.
I noticed that you highlight and you streamline and focus directly on programs that's assisting of males, male development and men, and that's the upliftment of men and fathers. Something led to that. So before we get to that, like, we got to ask, who is Sean Chin and what led you to that kind of like being your purpose?
Mm-hmm. Who is Sean Chin? Sean Chin is the son of Jacqueline Chin and the son of Philip Green.
Okay.
You know,
whoa. Your dad's last name?
Yeah, that's for dad's last name. Two young adults at the time trying to figure out the world. My mother was she had gone through a lot as a young girl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She had gone through a lot as a young girl and she found herself in a big city. And, this is about the 70s, somewhere around there. But she finds herself in a big city and she runs into my dad, Phil Green.
Where did this happen?
Is in Newark, New Jersey.
Okay.
This is Newark. Boy, anybody know about Newark Brick City? It's a poverty stricken, always been.
Okay.
Right. So the thing is, you know, back then it was about pimps and players. It was about the big afros. It was about the big cars. It was about getting a lot of money. You know, it was about, and this was when, I guess, you know, drugs started to really flood these areas of these inner cities.
Yeah.
So they both got caught up in that. And, you know, as the son of Jacqueline Chin, I saw my mother struggled her whole life. And then with my father, it's the same thing, that struggled the whole time. He was never able to shake the drugs and the alcohol and things like that. So Sean Chin comes from that. You know, he's full of trauma. He's full of life, he's full of love, he's full of hope, you know, but had to get to these places. He cries, you know, he gets frustrated. He's not he's a given person, but he's still reserved in that.
Right.
Sean Chin is still trying to figure out some things.
Understandable.
You know, still trying to figure out some things. And the reason that I even went that direction of telling you or explaining, giving you the backstory like that, is because we usually put ourselves in the space of a provider first. When you ask a man who he is, he usually puts what he does out there first. He usually gives you all the good stuff and all of that. And as you and I talked about before, and I talked to our guys about something that I've learned, which is we teach people how to treat us, which means if we put provider out there first and not the human being, then people treat us as the person that we put out there. We didn't put the vulnerable person out there. We didn't put the human being out there. We didn't put the person that's afraid and need love and assistance and all of these things out there. That we didn't put that hurt guy out there.
Right.
We put, you know, the provider part out there. And from from long time ago, all I'd known was to be a provider. I've been responsible for a long time. So I'm the second oldest of eight of us, you know, now the second oldest. And with that, a whole lot of responsibility came along with that, and being in a unstable household and things like that. So Sean Chin, man, loves people. I love people. I love stories. I've overcome a lot. I've accomplished a lot. I failed a lot.
Right.
You know, but it's, I think it's the beauty in getting to a place to where you understand that your life is not your own. You finally get there, because we look at this and we see how we live life recklessly.
Mm-hmm.
Or we fall victim to our environment.
Right.
You know, so I did all of that, you know.
You come from an area where, or a background where it's, where we always, you know, coming from the Black community, where that's been a very difficult world for us to overcome. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People use that as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Were you that person?
No.
Why not?
Because I saw the struggle early, and God allowed me to see my mother in her youth. You understand? He didn't allow me to see the mistakes and all that other stuff. He allowed me to see the young girl that at the time was with five kids.
Wow.
You know, he allowed me to see the men that entered into a life, and that for her, that it was full of promise. You know what I'm saying? Most of the guys were older than she was.
Right.
You know, and you know, for the most part, again, he allowed me to see the little girl, the young lady that was taken advantage of.
Right.
You understand? So right. And being in a position of being a provider and a protector for our family and for her, you know, it gave me a different perspective on all of this, right? So yeah. when we use these things as excuses, most of the time is rightfully so, because what you see is what you see. What you grow up in is what you grow up in. Thankfully, you know, my brother, you know, my brother Michael. He always helped hold things together.
Okay.
My brother always did so much more with less. Mm-hmm. So I said I wasn't going to do all this, but man. You know, my brother, man, he's my father. He's my mentor.
Yeah.
And to, you know, to watch him lead this family and to do so much more with less was inspiring too.
Is that who you're trying to emulate or fall in the footsteps of?
Not so much, because he and I are 1 year apart.
Okay.
You know, but we didn't have father figures, you know, in our lives at that time. You know, when we were really going through and trying to you know, figure things out. You know, we lived in, you know, we were never in a stable place, man.
little heavy right there, you know, talking about your brother, and y'all are a year apart. Are y'all still, are y'all close, or it's just like you feel like life is going on? Because I'm asking this because my dad was all over the place. Mm-hmm. Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around 13 and 21 kids, but that's another story, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so the bond of the brothers are, some brothers are cool, mm-hmm. but it's always that one that's like, mm-hmm. ain't your twin, but is your twin. Mm-hmm. Is that something like what's the relationship with your brother?
Absolutely, because he was in the trenches with us. You know, he helped to navigate that we stole.
You got some stories, bro.
You understand? we did what we had to do when we lived in extended stay hotels. You understand?
Right.
To put food on the table and make sure that our siblings were fed and things like that. So we talk every day.
Okay.
We talk every day. Okay. So yeah, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So how do we get from up there to Atlanta? What's the route? In long story short.
No, long story short, it was from there to Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
From
That's why I had to ask, because you said Green. I was like, my dad Green. We got some family down in Fort Lauderdale. I was about, hey, I keep your chin up. I was about to turn it to another story.
Yeah, you from Pensacola.
Yeah.
Because usually up north, your parents send you down south.
Right.
Parents send you down south because, of course, you can't get in a whole lot of trouble there.
told
of course, it's woods and you know, it's all that. You're away from the city. So then I had our grandmother and grandfather that was in Virginia that took on the responsibility of helping my brother and I while my mom was trying to get it together and things like that. And then my aunts and uncles at that time were able to jump in and again, because we're boys at the time.
Right.
And you know, in Newark at that time, you was definitely destined to go. It's either you ready to sell dope and go to jail, or you gonna hurt somebody and go to jail. But right. for young black men, it was that. And my uncle was a big time dope dealer.
Okay. So you got a lot of drugs in your family background, man.
Yeah.
So you know, it was around you.
It was around me. It was around me.
How do you avoid? I mean, how do you avoid being a part of that cycle?
Her sending us to Virginia was our saving grace, and then going from Virginia to Fort Lauderdale.
So okay, so there's that environment in Virginia. There's definitely that environment in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah,
you know. So is it?
Well,
do you akin this stuff to your household structure? I'm trying to create the basis of.
Where's the
left turn at? It has to be.
Well, so this is the thing. We live in a trap house in New Jersey. We leave the trap house environment to go to the country.
Okay.
We go to the country and we learn work ethic. A couple years, right? Okay. We learn work ethic, hard work, all of that stuff, right? And then we take the work ethic and now... because we're still in our youth at this time.
Right.
And now we're in Fort Lauderdale. But Virginia taught us responsibility. It taught us hard work. It taught us, man, because remember, we was in the city. We were stealing everything. You understand? So when we talk about environment, our cousins and them, they were selling dope already at 11, 12, 13 and all that other stuff. My uncle, you know, gave me a pack one time and came and got it back in probably about 20 minutes and that was it. And I didn't even understand what that was until later on, you know, when he had me to hold, you know. So I don't know, maybe I wasn't a good holder.
Yeah. Pastor Nino.
But man, So those things helped put us again in a position of when we got to Fort Lauderdale, we had a grandmother that was there that was also trying to help our mother get on her feet and stuff like that. So, but we've always been, my siblings and I, we've always been tight, but those moments created that bond that we have today that, you know, we make sure everybody's straight and things like that. So When you talk about environment, we dodged some bullets.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
We dodged some, because statistically, you know, we should have been in jail and going through that. Remember, like I alluded to earlier, mm-hmm. I was going down that route too.
Right. Right.
I was going that way.
And here you are now in Atlanta. Yeah. We have you become this man of the people, a highly respected man.
Man of the people.
A man of the people, bro. Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay, put it like this. I ain't heard
nobody. I like that. We was good right there.
You like, you kind of roll your head like, you know.
No.
I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about you in the time frame. You know what I'm saying? So do you, you know, I know you. Atlanta is a city, and I was talking to TR, business partner today, and we were just talking about the leeching lifestyle, the leeching environment that Atlanta has, because everything is, I gotta get it first.
Hmm.
I gotta do this before you or better than you, or look like I'm doing it better than you, rather than partnership.
Hmm.
How do you create a envisionment of yourself and your business that does not have that look to it?
Well, partnerships are important, right? So we jump into that part of it. Partnerships are important. You said leeching?
Leeching.
Leeching. Being confident in what you're doing. You understand? Be focused on what you're doing. Because it's a product and a service. Everybody's trying to sell services and products.
Mm-hmm.
But again, most of the time we don't do good business. You know, and when you don't do good business, it dirties up your name a little bit.
Right.
You know, so right. That's where the leeching and all that other stuff, you know, when you're not confident in what you're doing and what you got going on, when you're not stable and I say all the time, you got to believe it first. Whatever you have going on, you have to believe in it first before you can sell it to me.
Mm.
And facts. Most of the time, that's not what's happening.
Right.
You're trying to sell me something that you're not convinced about yourself. And then when the turbulence come, you abandon who you said you were.
Mm.
You abandon the product. You abandon the service.
Right.
You understand? So, man, what do they call Atlanta? The
Mecca.
City of the scammers?
Yeah, it is. Once upon a time, it was the, you know, new black Hollywood, new black Motown, the Mecca, you know, the Mecca of the South. And now it's, you know, it's just very ugly and grimy, you know. And we have to maneuver through this. So as a father with kids...
Mm-hmm.
In a era where the parent is wrong at all turns, talk about it.
Man, we ain't getting all that back up.
Okay, back yeah. up. Oh, come on.
Hey, y'all,
you asked me to moderate you.
Yeah.
Okay, well. So we here, we have a podcast. In this podcast, what's the goal of this podcast?
Help and hope. To provide help and hope and resources through casual conversation. And getting back to the Sean Chin part, I was a young father, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my mom wound up as a matter of fact, I was going to say she lost us to foster care. No, she didn't. We wound up, being tired of living on the streets. That we asked our grandmother to take us to the detention center, that we knew once we went to the detention center that then they would find foster homes for us or somewhere for us to have a hot meal or somewhere right. for us to have shelter. Because at this time, my mom is in the streets. She's not coming home. We're calling the, you know, this payphones at the time. We're calling the hospitals. We're calling the police departments. We're trying to figure out if she's dead, you know, where she's at. And this is on a 11 and 12 and 13 year old kid. You understand?
Wow. Yeah.
So we get to a point to where it was too much on our grandmother, because she was still a RN, a nurse, and she had her own household to run at the time, too.
Right.
And she did the best that she could. You know how it is. The grandmothers try to take on the responsibilities of the daughter's kids and things like that. And, you know, addicts do what addicts do, which is manipulate every situation and circumstance.
And they're the victim.
You know, that happens. So we get into a space to where, again, my brother, my sister, we're the three oldest, and we like, listen, this is what we're going to do. Have grandma to take us over to the detention center, and we'll figure it out from there.
Right.
So we wound up in foster care. That's how we wound up in foster care, is because we lived in so many parks. We lived in so many extended stay hotels. There was never any, like I said, stability and things like that.
Right.
So imagine those things on a 11, 12, 13 year old having those responsibilities. That happened. And then getting into the foster homes, at the time, these foster homes were a way to make money for the foster parents. You understand? So at this time, the regulations and rules were so lax, because there were so many children that were homeless, right, that it seemed like they damn near started letting anybody have foster homes, you know. But, you know, it was when we had originally or secondly got into our third foster home, my brother and I always stayed together, and my three sisters always stayed together in different homes. And man, we always found ways to stay connected through that. But, you know, those are the things that, you know, when I fast forward and I say how, you know, being a young dad, I aged out of foster care.
Wow.
When you age out of foster care, the state helps you for a little while, but man, I was paying bills at 15 and a half years old. I was living by myself at 16. So these responsibilities like this. So yeah, I was,
it seemed like you was grown way before your time.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Hmm. And yeah. So the weight that has on you, you still hold it?
Do I still hold it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This creates anger.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
Yeah. Well.
It creates frustration. And as I said, like previously, it could create excuses to other issues.
Yes.
Depression, anger, abuse, drug abuse, physical abuse. You know what I'm saying? Alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I escape most of that. I escaped most of that by the grace of God, I think, because I saw, you know, what it did to my family. Mm-hmm. But, you know, out of, you know, being in the environment.
Yes.
Being in the environment, I told you I was a drug dealer for a day. Remember, I was a drug dealer
for
a day.
Give me about your drug dealer story, man.
You know what I'm saying? So I was a drug dealer for a day. Wasn't a good drug dealer. But that was trauma. It was traumatic.
Right.
That, you know, I came back to pick up the money from the lady that was supposed to sell it, right?
Right.
She was on drugs. Now, get all of this. She's on drugs. She's supposed to take my stuff, sell it, and then have the money when I came back. Now, I got hooked up through her, through my sister's boyfriend that was big time at one time. He had them fell off by this time. You understand? So now he on dope. I don't know this. But I tell you this, what changed that quick, fast, and in a hurry is when I went to pick up my money and they had beat me to her. They beat me to her and they wound up abusing this lady.
Mm.
Right? They wound up abusing her. So by the time I get there, she's in shambles. She's just going through it. She's yelling, she's cussing, she's fussing. It's like she's on the phone with 911 at this time, and I was on my way to school. I'm like, oh, hell no. So I left real quick, got back on the bus, and I'm on my way to school.
Right.
But the other part to that was that I saw my mother in that. And that, remember we talked about environment and we talked about all of these other things. That's how I was a drug dealer for a day, because I saw that and it traumatized me. I thought it was just getting money. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was this easy. Everybody doing it. And I saw her, and that's how that happened like that. And I didn't try to, like I said, after that, push for, you know, and I talked to these guys about this today, about selling weed, selling dope, and being and doing it on the scale that you're doing it on. At the end of the day, you put in your life in jeopardy. You put in all of this at risk for some rims, for some shoes, for some clothes. You know what I'm saying? So because I've already lived it, because I've already seen it, and because, again, I got to a place to where I understood early, man, this ain't worth it.
What's the, if you're in your mind, the success rate of mentoring and talking to people, you know, because we can't save everybody, man. And we try to give them information from the mistakes that we made.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out there a lot talking to the young men and the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't save all of them.
What's the success rate?
Yes.
If you
was in a room full of 10 people, 10 men, on average, how many is people of those receiving your words, bro?
You know why I can't say?
Because it depends on the environment. It depends on the purpose.
No. It depends on this. I'm a Christian. I believe this, right? Biblically, it tells us that one plants, one waters, God gives the increase, right? I don't know the success rate of that young man that I either planted a seed in or I watered a seed, right? The success rate comes when I try to look at the increase in the works of my own hands.
Mm.
Now I get to judge that, right? That's out of order, because everybody has their own time and season when they blossom.
You're right.
But most people don't look at it that way. You know, when we think of mentorship, we think of rules and regulations and authority and all this. When I was in high school and I got in the jam, I had the school sent a guy from the sheriff's office to mentor me. Right. Remember, I was already living by myself. I was already paying bills. So now this guy comes out of the blue talking about mentoring me. Bro, I'm my own man.
Right.
Right? I got a kid already.
Right.
But guess what, D? I'm 17, 18 at this point. I ain't know nothing except survival.
What you thought you knew.
That's it. And I blew them off. I dodged them. I did all of those things, man. And this is why today, while we do what we do, to where I teach my guys as mentors that it's not a right for you to be in these guys' space. It's a privilege to be in these guys' spaces. When you're mentoring a young man, it ain't your right to be in his space. It's a privilege to be in his space, so govern yourself accordingly.
Explain it's a privilege.
It's a privilege because
Some people don't look at it as, you know, some people say this work is tiring.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to light worker Wayne, who deals with a lot of younger
boys
and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a frustration because you're trying to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we could call all those frustrations privileges. So clarify that for me.
It's a privilege because this young adult is trusting somebody else again. Right. They've been hurt. They've gone through it. We don't know them late in the midnight hour cries. Right. So the privilege is that they allowed us back into a space that really got a wall up. or it's been a wall up for everybody else.
Right.
But when we treat it as a right, we miss that whole privilege piece, which now puts us in the position of telling you what I want you to do, telling you what I see for you, right? But don't that sound like his parent that let him down? Don't that sound like the authority figure that was in their lives that already let them down? So when we don't look at it as a privilege, then we don't govern ourselves accordingly.
Right.
We just do what we think is right versus what's actually right. A lot of times, again, when it comes to mentorship, it's people that are trying to correct their wrongs in their kids' lives, and they're trying to fix them in somebody else's kids' lives. You understand?
Facts.
So when we talk about privilege, that's the privilege. Like, hold up, wait a minute. Make sure your house is or you're in a place of stability first. You know why that is, D? Because that kid, that real kid, the hurt one, the traumatized one, the bratty one, the mouthy one, the disrespectful one, oh, that one gonna show up eventually. And when you as a mentor are not properly positioned, right, in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, in your life, that kid is going to trigger something in you. Right? So when we talk about privilege, that means I got to do the work on me first before I can mentor anybody. I got to be straight and safe. Because when that real kid shows up, guess what? They trigger something in you. Now the real you show up, and oh boy, here we go. Now you just like the one that let them down.
Tell me about one of those moments, though, that you had to catch it.
Say that again?
Tell me about one of those moments where it got heavier. Do you have one of those moments? We don't have to mention no names, but
No. I can't really say, because I've been in all my kids' lives. You know what I'm saying? I've always been there. I've always been there. So when it comes to, you know, the dad feeling the rejection and then, you know, that being triggered in another situation, not really. But there are times, again, when these young adults try you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So in it, yeah.
Shout out to King Harris.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think about that, man. Let's loosen the ties up that we're not wearing. Shout out to Kendrick Williams. Amen. Salute to you, brother. Okay, so you see somebody like T.I.'s son, King Harris, grew up possibly, assumably, privilege, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you see the video where, mm-hmm. you know, it was a very conflicting moment between father and son? And I think, and I was telling my wife that, well, I think this happens with all of our fathers,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
And we be almost knowing that moment's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What do you assume? What did you read out of that moment between those two?
It sucked because what happened in private wound up happening publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I think, you know, T.I. did the best that he could to try to de-escalate the thing. But man, it happens. It happens, and we all do some things sometimes that we're not proud of as parents, that in that moment you think it's right. It's the right thing to do because I'm the parent, I'm the authority,
mm-hmm.
right? So now I have to assert that right here, right now, or you're going to do it again. So I pray for the relationship to get to where it needs to be, to where it's respected. It's got to be a respected relationship because the young man he's a young adult now.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, and T.I. is his father, which again is to be respected. You know, so yeah, I'll leave that right there though.
Okay. So, you're Hill and Haven of Atlanta. This is kind of like the goal of it, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's right there. We just watched the purpose of your organization, brother.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, we empower the man through our mentorship services. We empower the father through our parenting classes. And we empower the future community leader. So with all of those things, it's three levels to that. Because our guys need, we specialize in healing and development. Notice we specialize in that because we're dealing with a lot of hurt and traumatized young men that wound up being hurt and traumatized fathers, right? They wound up being hurt and traumatized boyfriends. They wound up being hurt and traumatized husbands, all of these things. So they suck at relationships. So we specialize in that because, again, I was one of those guys to where, like I said, the environment and not having the confirmation, the affirmation, the things that you needed from your mother or your father growing up. You know, the one thing that I can say about my mother was a lot of the times that she was in a good space, man, she always told me how proud of me she was. She always told me how much she loved me. You understand? And those were genuine moments. So those were the things that I held on to be able to, she passed away in 2019. But to be able to help her to navigate, man, and try to live this life to the fullest, you know, those are the things that God equipped me with to be able to get, see the, you know, have the compassion and the empathy and the sympathy and the forgiveness and all of those things that we lack most of the time because we're offended, especially as men, you know. And then for my father, man, he told me something way back when. And he says to me, I was working at a plant in Missouri. It was a plant doing a dog food production or something like that. You know, I got a family already trying to make ends meet. And he said, hey, man, he says, how much they paying you over there? And it was like $6.25, $6.50 an hour.
Right.
But he was like, and it was on an assembly line. But the advice that he gave me was to find a job that didn't teach me how to be a robot to where I had to wait on a buzzer to tell me when to go to lunch. Mm. How about Missouri is an industrial state. It's all of those, you know, plants and all of that stuff, manufacturing plants and all of this other stuff. And he told me that, and I quit that job. But I say that to say this. How powerful his voice was, even though he hadn't been the best father.
You know, you could always get something from people. I think even in spite of people's situations, everybody has a gift to give for knowledge, for learning.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. And that's the thing that we try to not count, you know, as young men. Mm-hmm. Bro, you come from somewhere. You come, your mannerisms, your attitude, how you move, all of those things come from somewhere.
Right.
It don't have to be from a perfect place. So, you know, I usually, you know, I ascribe to this. If your dad is still living,
there you go.
At least have a conversation with him, because there's always two sides to every story. Right. So if you only take one side and you live your life one sided, then you miss out on a whole lot. And right. Then you don't avoid mistakes that you could have avoided had you sat down and understood where you came from, why you think that way. You understand? And again, because we're offended and we're in these places of, man, he did that to me, that, you know, I ain't going to allow him in my space to hurt me, to do this, to do this, to do this, and to do that. Well, I'm sure that you try to be the best dad or the best provider or whatever to your kids, right, and you fall short too. Where you think that falling short comes from? Not dealing with the trauma or the situation from before where you was disserviced. Mm. That comes from somewhere, and it comes forward at the most inopportune time. So when we look at this, man, it's about love, D. It's about forgiveness. It's about commitment. It's about accountability. It's about responsibility.
I think one of the best things that happened in my life before he passed was my dad walked into my life months before my mother passed, right? Which would, tomorrow will be the 21st anniversary of that. But it was like perfect timing, because not the best father, we used to talk about that, but he was there, kind of like picking up the pieces just to be some form of a brick for him.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. And we had some honest conversations, because he would lead in.
Yeah.
No, I really can't tell you nothing.
Yeah.
Because he know he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But, and he would follow it up with, but, because in spite of what might have happened, let me tell you some things. Let me kind of like guide you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where we're missing as a people, that opportunity to receive information, you know?
Yeah. You said it. The opportunity. Healing Haven of Atlanta, that's a, you know, this is a nonprofit that I created, again, to be able to, again, give back to the community, because I've had some men that, again, along the way have given back to me.
Mm-hmm.
My two father-in-laws, Nola and Ken, you know, I watched how they moved.
Right.
I watched how they led their families. You understand? I saw it. And that's the thing with us men. And this is kind of where we fail at today, D, is that we don't think people are watching us.
Oh, I think everybody watching everything I do.
Yeah. I ain't talking about. So, you know, we're in a show improved society, even with your kids, you know, because you show one thing at home, but you're doing something else over here. They got a problem with that,
right.
as they should. Right. But the other thing is, we're not doing a good job of what we put out there. You know, so then when it comes back and we get called out, you know, it's called disrespectful and things like that. Of course, there's always ways that you can handle a situation, especially with your kids. But getting called out is getting called out.
Right.
Because if you are not doing what they're saying you're doing, then you're not going to be offended like that. You understand?
Yeah.
So Healing Haven of Atlanta, having these guys in my life, and again, like I said, my brother, and some other men along the way, has helped me to become the man that I am today. You know, and that's still, that story won't be told all the way until I leave here.
I know that's right.
So even if you ask, hey, were you a good guy, or, you know, how did you do? I'm going to tell you, bro, I tried my best. I'm not going to tell you I'm a good guy. I'm going to tell you that, you know what, when I lay it down, then it's going to be on God to determine, you know, how I handle business while I was here.
Right.
Because we all think that we're all doing the right thing, but the timing can be off. You know, but when it comes to Healing Haven of Atlanta, of course, so this is what this podcast is really about, because we expect the clients to come to us and say, hey, we need help.
Right.
We need this, and that. But most of the time we're dealing with young men that are already broken, already fragile, already afraid, already scared, already going through mental health situations. And they don't trust themselves, so they don't trust nobody else.
Right.
You understand? And then remember the thing I said about the mentorship thing of being a right, a privilege and not a right. You understand? Do you know how many mentors have already tried to get in these guys' lives, and they get in there with the right and not the privilege?
Right.
So you are out of order already. So you know how far that sets that young man back?
Because he don't want to trust nobody.
Because he don't want to trust nobody.
And we already, as men, having, just you said, the issues of opening up to anybody. And
when we mismanage that opportunity, we send them back a little further. So even with the services that we provide, Man, I was just talking to another organization earlier because this is kind of how we have to flip it. They got to be presentations now. Even if you're a young man that's at a deficit, you don't have what you need. You don't have a job. You don't have job training. You messed up and got your license suspended and all of this other stuff.
Right.
We got to sell you what we do. We have to actually, and it's for you.
And it's for you.
It's for you, but we have to damn near pitch, hey, this is how I can help you, young man.
And they don't want to hear.
No.
Because being let down so much.
Mm-hmm. Or again, oh man, this will get you right here. A lot of us lack the credibility, brother. That's what I was talking about earlier. Walking that talk. We doing a lot of this right here, but we ain't walking that thing out. So they see that.
Right.
You know, so we have that to contend with also. So this podcast right here, you know, helping with helping, providing help and hope through and resources through casual conversation. It's about now getting Joe Blows that know something, right, that I don't know. Right. Even though they're not experts in this area,
right,
but they can tell you where to go to get this service. They can tell you where to go to get that service. They can tell you where they've been. You understand? They can all of these things that at the end of the day, all of our experiences, if we embrace those experiences, we are a valuable resource. Right. But when we don't look at it that way and we try to run away from those experiences because we're embarrassed and we shame and, oh, man, I had to go get this kind of service and do this and this and this and that.
Right.
And I'm not ready or I don't want to share it with the next person. What is that really about?
I remember a conversation we was having when we was before we did the Are You OK, Bro event. Hmm. And you said, you were saying we needed to do the videos because we had to put a face with it.
Yeah.
Is this similar to the purpose of that? You have Healing the Haven, and now you're putting a face to it.
Absolutely.
Just to let everybody know, hey, we are actually here. I got that over here, but I'm bringing this to you so you could actually see. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, one of the reasons, absolutely. Right here in Clayton County, but I want to, again, abroad, because I want people to be able to, especially because us men, we deal with child support, we deal with family violence, we deal with domestic violence, we deal with, you know, once we make a mistake, it's hard to get back up.
Right.
We deal with recidivism, we deal with these guys getting out of prison and they've been marked already as a felon, as this, 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 and that, with all these labels. So now they can do anything that they desire at this point. They've already paid their debt to society.
Yes.
But then they're still in a position where they can't win. Our thing is to, again, get people talking about this, but not only talking about it, doing something about it, being about it.
Right.
Because this is the problem that we're having, is that young man that he might have he might smoke weed. Right. He might do it in the comforts of his own home. Now he winds up out here in the street. He got a busted tail light or something like that. He's zigzagging the street. He get pulled over. He high. And so this is his first offense, maybe second offense. But my thing is, you take this young man's freedom away. Right. For something like that, he's not out here in society hurting nobody. He doesn't have a criminal record. But again, because he got caught in the bad spot, in the wrong place. Now we turn around and flip this young man's life upside down. Or I give you another one, to where we're dealing with the child support situation. And you know, the guys that missed the paternity test, right? Mm-hmm. They missed the paternity opportunity. Ooh. And now these guys are responsible for these kids that they know are not their kids, but the system says this. Right now, all of a sudden, he's in a situation he can't do X, Y, and Z because he owes arrears in child support. Oh, man, mine was $52,000.
Wow.
You understand? So this is why I do what I do. This is purpose and all of this. And I understand all of these things, man, that at the end of the day, I was able to, with the help of other programs, organizations, and people be able to get out of those situations. When I tried to do it myself, it was impossible. It was so impossible that I was so frustrated that I was almost considering taking this lady's life.
Wait. Okay, so let's talk about you openly able to want to actually say that. Because look.
You know where I'm going.
Because we talk about... I never say I want to get rid of Alicia and Nicole. Mm-hmm, well, if something really, really, really happened, I'll be at the funeral in the back seat, in the there back row. But yeah, talk about the anger of that.
Because...
to willing to be able to say, yeah, this is where I was at.
Because this is the thing. To go to court so many times and everybody knows the truth and they still don't grant you the dismissal and they still expect you to keep paying those arrears. The paperwork is in front of them, but because you missed that court date, right? Mm-hmm. Because you missed that court date, this situation is your situation. Everybody in the court know. Now, you done filed all of these motions.
Yep.
They keep defaulting on the motions, which means you should win, right?
Or you assume.
You should win. But because you're representing yourself, it's frowned upon, you know, in the courts. Wow. Because you don't have a lawyer representing you. So my thing is to have somebody to manipulate the system to the point of getting the child support money, laughing in your face, ha ha ha, you can't do nothing about it. You understand? And to go a step further to get the child support increased, knowing that this is not your child, but because the courts declared that the child is yours, I'm gonna stick that knife in and turn it a little bit deeper because we're not together. But I'll say this, it's two sides of that. We'll talk about it another time. But
yes,
this is the reason for healing and development at Healing Haven of Atlanta. Because the other part to that is I shouldn't have still been dealing with her.
There you go. That's another story. Because I was thinking, you know, we got to be cautious and careful where we, you know.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, that's still a person.
Yes.
That person still has emotions. That person is still dealing with whatever, you know, they're dealing with. But by you back and forth, young man, by you back and forth, inner life, outer life, inner life, outer life. Hey, y'all know how I go. You know, you try to get in and stay around enough so that the child support is not increased or she don't call them people on you and this and that, that and this. Mm-hmm. You don't understand that really you the prostitute at this point. You the one that's being pimped out at this point because she holds all the cards. To where, guess what? You don't perform this week, I'm threatening to go get them guys. I'm threatening to put you on child support. And now with guys, you know how many are dealing with this? A whole lot is dealing with this. Dealing with the fact that because if I deal with her on the side, right, those child support payments will either be none or very minimal compared to what the courts are going to do. So now what I wound up doing is a piece of me is over here and a piece of me is over here. Mm-hmm. But then the other part to that is, guess what? When you're under that kind of stress and duress, you wound up not even really being a father to your kids.
Bam.
Because of that whole situation, because she gets to manipulate and control the whole thing. So you can't even get on with your life. Like at the end of the day, if you have the kid, man, do what you need to do to take care of your kid, right?
Yeah.
If y'all are done, be done. The back and forth and all of this other stuff, mm-hmm. We're still emotionally tied to this stuff, and we don't want to admit that.
Right.
We don't want the other dude even involved like that. We still think that we can control the situation, not understanding again that we're being played ourselves, right? Because when it comes down to the money part of all of this, so be it.
So be it.
So be it. So be it. Because you still need to be able to get on with your life. And that's not all you are. So even again, trying to move ahead in life, That's what the whole problem was. I couldn't move ahead because that was holding me down, ball and chain. And again, it was a proven fact that the child was not my child. Right? So all of these things are needed and necessary.
Yes.
With this podcast and with this information is getting people that's going to be able to come in and do something solutions-wise about people that are going through similar situations. Driver's license is suspended because of XYZ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he might have been irresponsible and all of this other stuff. We try to show you the importance of not being irresponsible. Because it's all, it's on you, bro. So at the end of the day, you wind up selling dope. You wind up doing all of these things and making ends meet because you're trying to dodge child support. You can't even get on with life. So the real things that you want to do and the real you will never blossom or become anything because you done relegated yourself to a nickel and dime dope dealer because you're trying to avoid them people. You understand? And then... again, even if you're in the child's life, right?
Right.
Financially, you're not able to take care of the kid because you done regulated yourself to the nickel and dime dope dealer or making ends meet. Yeah, that's what all of this becomes about. Yes. is providing help and hope and resources through casual conversation, because the more we get other CEOs, because remember I said we're expecting the people to come to us. So yes, we're all nonprofit wise having the same issue, which is getting people to come to the program, right?
Yes.
So the thing is, if we can talk about what our programs offer, right? And we put ourselves in a position of authenticity to where now, bro, we're trying to recruit you. Do you not feel value in being recruited? We see something in you. We know X, Y, Z. These are the things that you have in front of you. We can help you with that versus, hey, take these services. You understand?
Yes.
So nonprofit wise, we're having the same issues. But of course, because we try to go at it the old school way of doing this, these guys are not coming in and because they're already lacking self-esteem. Yes. They're already lacking self-worth. They're already lacking discipline, focus. They're already lacking those things. So these are the skills that we're trying to teach them, which means it's going to take a different approach in order to get them in the space and in the place to even in their minds and their hearts to want to receive it.
That's outstanding, bro. That's outstanding. You know, from what I got gathered for today, man, once again, Sean Chin, Keep Your Chin Up podcast, circling your story, brother, and the moment that you led with saying, how do we come up with the name, and you're saying that that lady told you, young man, keep your chin up. If you look at it, brother, you'd become that lady. Because just like that motivating moment that she was trying to give to you, that focusing moment that she was trying to give to you, that's essentially what you are doing now to other people. Yeah. For other people. I hope she just didn't have a beard. That's all I'm saying. And I think that's what happens. You know, we turn into the people who push us forward and mentor and help us and guide us. Before we sign off, man, what would you like to leave everybody with about who you are and what to look forward to in weeks and weeks and weeks to come going into 2024, bro?
Well, we are offering counseling services free of charge at Healing Haven of Atlanta. The first week of January. We're looking to build our staff with more therapists and counselors. We understand this. In order to get these services to the masses, we have to address counseling. We have to address the mental health. We have to address meeting the man where he is. And again, most of the time we're trying to push programs on people that are programmed out, you know. And so with all of this, again, we're going to ride this thing till the wheels come off, because we know that there are men that are hurt, that are distraught, that are good. We know that there are overcomers. We know that there are men that have been through way worse and that have made something out of themselves. We know athletes, doctors, lawyers, regular Joe Blows that live a good life have some kind of story or some kind of traumatic experience that happened, but it was a way they did something to flip it. You understand? We want to hear from those guys. How mm-hmm. did you do that? You know, what did it take for you to be able to take care of the healing part of this thing? Our guys are mostly underdeveloped,
right?
Because we're looked to be providers, and we put ourselves out there as providers first. And when we fail at being a provider to what we put out there, then all of a sudden you ain't no good no more.
Mm.
You understand? So now our self-esteem is trash, especially if we already didn't have none. Our confidence is in the toilet. My love for myself ain't where it should be. I say all the time, if I don't learn how to love and forgive myself, how can I learn to love and forgive you? I can't, which means it's just a cycle of emotions. You understand? So with all of this, we are adamant about the healing and development of our young men and young fathers. I got daughters, man. My daughters need guys that are stable. My daughters need guys that have direction, guys that are focused. My daughters need, again, this guy, when he shows up, that he don't have it all together. He got his mind and his heart together, though.
Ooh.
You understand? He don't have the riches and all of that other stuff, but he's settled in his spirit. You understand? Then she gets to come alongside of him, and they get to create something together.
Outstanding.
You understand? So that's what all of this is about, man. It's men like us all over this nation, you know, and like I said, that have gone through worse and that have come out on the other side. So, yeah, to my guys right now, man, healing, development is needed, is necessary, self-care. You got to take care of yourself. I can't give you what I don't have. You got to adopt that mindset also.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you what I don't have. If I don't operate at a maximum level and I'm always operating from a deficit, I'm going to keep giving you leftovers.
We ain't going to go into the bar heavy stuff you dropping, man. I'll say this, man. Great words. Outstanding introduction to the world. If they did not know who you were, I think you gained some followers and some fans today, man. Before we sign off, I got to do my shameless plug. I do want to say thank you for being a brother and a partner to support of Yell Entertainment, man.
Yes, sir.
From day one, man. Day one. So we want to thank everyone who has supported what we have done over here at RTV and Yell Entertainment. Once again, that includes Brother Sean Chin and the Chin Up Podcast, because you could have took this outstanding thing anywhere and you came here. I just think you thought you fell up in here on the Mail Review one time and you felt like it was home. That's what I feel like, but I ain't
feel like it was home. You know, we good.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you guys and all that you do.
Anything you want to sign off with, brother? Any taglines yet?
No. Actually, I think we're going to be back at this in another week.
Yes.
Next week, we'll be back at it. We will be tackling the topic of forgiveness.
Mm.
We'll be tackling that topic. And of course, we'll have a therapist and a counselor.
Okay.
That's going to be on deck. But then we'll also have a practical application. And we're talking straight to our guys. We are... what is it called? Blue collar, white collar. We don't need corporate. We don't need to talk to the
white collars corporate.
White collars corporate. My thing is, man, we're for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that corporate don't matter or they don't count, but I know that our guys are marginalized, and we want to make sure that this content and the help and the hope and the resources are getting to those guys. So y'all tune in, ask questions. We'll be sure to, once y'all drop them in the comments and all of that stuff or on air, we'll try to get them answered. But definitely, you might be a resource. Your story that you're sharing in a healthy way could be a resource. So those are the things that we look forward to. So until then, peace out.